Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brandon Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to speak to you just for a few minutes from the title, Expectation and Favor. Expectation and Favor. Have you ever heard the term faith-filled expectation? Sometimes you'll hear it in church every once in a while, like, we need to have a faith-filled expectation. And maybe you wonder, like, what is that actually, like, what does that even mean, like, faith-filled expectation? And it's a good question to ask. It's very important that we understand that, because expectation in Scripture is so important. The Bible says, my expectation is set on Him. So it's important that we understand, what does that mean? How do we have an expectation on God? So I'll give you a little definition for expectation here. Expectation is a faith-filled belief that God is going to do the supernatural. A faith-filled belief that God is going to do the supernatural. So if you came in tonight with an expectation, that means you walked into prayer meeting with a faith-filled belief that as I'm in the prayer meeting, God is going to do the supernatural. That's exactly, as you go into the future or wherever that is, if you have a faith-filled expectation, you believe God's gonna do a miracle. You believe God's gonna do something big. And it's powerful when you have that. If you wanna go back to the title slide real quick, because I think expectation and favor go hand in hand. And that's why this is so important. There's some places that God wants to give you favor, and we all need that, right? Some places where God wants to give you blessing, and we all need that. But it's only gonna come through expectation. So it's important that we understand this. So we're gonna look at Isaiah chapter 41. Let's look at it right now. When the poor and needy search for water, and there is none, and their tongues are parched from thirst, then I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will never abandon them. I will open up rivers for them on the high plateaus. I will give them fountains of water in the valleys. I will fill the deserts with pools of water. Rivers fed by springs will flow across the parched ground. I will plant trees in the barren desert. If you like trees, get ready. Cedar, acacia, myrtle, olive, cypress, fir, and pine. All the people who love planting trees, make some noise. Oh, lots of tree people in here. I like trees too. I'm going to do this so all who see this miracle will understand what it means that it is the Lord who has done this, the Holy One of Israel who's created it. So the first thing we see in this passage is this: recognizing your need is where expectation begins. Recognizing your need is where expectation. So if you're taking notes, maybe write that down on your phone, because that's so important. And look at verse 17 again. When the poor and needy search for water and there is none, and their tongues are parched from thirst, then. So there's a precursor to this favor, to this blessing, to this anointing, to this grace from the Lord, and it's a precursor of need. When there's need for water, when there's thirst, when there's, you can't find it on your own, then I, the Lord, will answer. So I hope that for you, if you're walking in need right now, maybe you look at your life and you're like, my life is full of need. Or maybe you've had needs that you're like, I'm just not sure how this will work out, or I'm needing the Lord to come through. Something that really helps create an expectation is need is a precursor to favor. So if you dread the need and you hate the need and you are just like ignoring the need or trying to distract yourself from the need, you're really missing out on what God might want to do and how He would bring favor into your life. It helps you see your need maybe just a little bit more positively, that need could be a place where God wants to do something really supernatural and very powerful. Nothing happens spiritually where there is no hunger, where there's no thirst, where there's no need. Think about that, and that's true. Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So when we're talking about hunger and thirst, we're talking about an area of your life where you're saying, I need God to work here, okay? Need is not fun, it's painful, right? It often can feel confusing. And this is why many times you'll hear about the danger of distraction. Because what distraction is, it's distraction in life is often designed to help you forget what you need, right? Like when you're like doom scrolling on social media, or you're just watching YouTube videos, or if you're going through Netflix just trying to find another movie to watch, and you spend 2 hours doing that to watch a 30-minute show, it's because you're trying to distract yourself sometimes. It can be as simple as I'm trying to distract myself, I'm tired. But oftentimes, you know, life's busy, or you're just like, man, this would just be great to just kind of unplug for a little bit. The thing about distraction is distraction makes you forget need. And so they do, actually, there's science that, this is scientific, okay? Science-based. Science is cool, right? I'm just trying to have fun with you right now, okay? Like, it's based on science. You know, I was like thinking, there's movie references I could give you right now, but I'm not gonna do it. I don't want to distract you from the message, all right? However, it is truly based on science that your brain has dopamine. And they actually put rats in a lab, and what they did with the rats is they gave them a button, and every time they could hit the button, dopamine would hit their brain. And dopamine's kind of like the distraction wanting chemical in your brain. What happened with the rats is they just sat there and hit the button over and over and over again to have dopamine hit their brain. They didn't eat, they didn't drink, they didn't sleep, they just sat there and hit the button until they collapsed. What does that tell you? It distracts them from need, right? And that's exactly how our body works, how our mind works, how we work. And here's the thing that's important for us to understand. Some of those needs that are in your life, if you didn't distract yourself from them, but you brought them to the Lord, that would be a place where God could supernaturally answer in your life. What you need is not a distraction. You need a word from God. What you need is not a distraction. You need God to move supernaturally, but that comes when you take that need to Him. The problem is when you are distracting yourself, you don't do that. And you need to know, man, that's a precursor. This need that's creating a hunger in me is a precursor to God working in my life. So I want to give you some practical just recommendations. If you're there and you're like, okay, well, how does that work for me? Number one, when you go to bed tonight, and don't look at your phone or watch TV. I know it's gonna be hard, okay? Number two, write down one or two things you're believing God for and ask God to speak to you. Okay, so this is helping you not be distracted, and then you're gonna write these things down. I'm believing God for this. And this is gonna actually help clear your heart, your soul. It's gonna help bring some peace to your situation. Number three, wake up tomorrow morning and don't look at your phone or watch TV, okay? So you've set yourself up the night before to hear from the Lord, and so don't ruin it when you wake up in the morning, okay? Number four, read your Bible and sit quietly. Somebody said, yeah, I like that. They know. Read your Bible and just sit quietly, all right? What do I read, okay? Maybe you could read the proverb for the day. That would be just picking the date and going to that proverb, okay? So tomorrow, I believe, is the 30th, right? So you go to Proverbs chapter 30 and read Proverbs chapter 30, or read a psalm, then sit quietly. And that's for if you're not in a Bible plan or whatever. Number five, pray for the things you're believing God for. God, I'm believing you for this. I need this. Number six, turn on some worship music and really worship, okay? So biblical worship involves you singing, so you're gonna have to sing a little bit. You can sing quietly so you don't wake up your kids, but really worship, okay? Notice it's not like you're praying for the things you believe in God for, but then you need to take a moment and quiet your soul. Then number seven, write down what God says, okay? This need that God has put in your life is there to drive you to His presence. And God will speak to you. And I'll say this, if God doesn't speak to you, do those steps 3 days in a row, and I guarantee you, God will speak to you, okay? Why can I say that? Because number two, God answers hunger and expectation. So once again, hunger is not the enemy. Hunger is to drive you to the presence of God. I'm not saying a need is a good thing. I'm saying a need can become a good thing when you put it in God's hands, because God's going to do something supernatural. Look at this. When the poor and needy search for water and there is none, and their tongues are parched from thirst, then I, the Lord, will answer them, and I, the God of Israel, will never abandon them. How powerful is that? When this, then that. God will answer. And so I really just want to encourage you, if you're hungry, hungry is such a powerful driver, to use that to drive yourself to the Lord. Because oftentimes, once again, when it comes to distraction, we fill ourselves with the wrong stuff. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up. Who loves Thanksgiving? I talk about it every year. It comes around because it's my favorite holiday, everybody. My favorite. Thanksgiving, you can thank the Lord for Christmas. You can thank him for Easter. You can thank him for the 4th of July, that we live in a free country, because it's Thanksgiving. You can wrap them all in one and give it all to him. And you get to eat great food. Come on, let's thank the Lord for Thanksgiving, anybody? So good. But how many of you know that I don't know about you, but I plan my day around the meal. Like I plan the night before even. Like, I don't want to fill up with stuff. I'm not going to eat pie the night before Thanksgiving, because I want to get there and get the good pie. I want to eat the good stuff. In the morning, I don't like eat a big breakfast and eat a big lunch, because I'm planning for the meal. Because I know somebody's working hard to prepare that meal. You know, I've made goals every year to do a turkey. I haven't done it yet. Maybe one day I will. But I think the lack of incentive comes from the fact that I know somebody is making a turkey, and they're better at making turkey than me. And they're even like praying, Lord, help this turkey to come out great. I know it's going to be awesome. But I'm not going to like fill up on a box of Triscuits before Thanksgiving, you know? I'm not going to go like raid the Cheez-It thing in the pantry. Who likes Cheez-Its in here? They're gross, all right? I'm not going to do that. Why am I not going to do that? Because that is like simple carbohydrates, not quality. I mean, and now if you like own like the Cheez-It company, I bless you. But they're not a Thanksgiving meal, right? Like, if you filled up on that, you're missing it. And you're going to come in and you're going to be sad. And you're going to miss the point. I think when it comes to like an atmosphere like this, or comes to you seeking the Lord, so many times we fill up on the equivalent of Triscuits when God's preparing something for us, where he wants to do something really powerful. He wants to give you a word that you've never had before. He wants to move in your life in a way you've never seen before. He wants to do something significant. But you're so caught up in the need that you're just filling your life with whatever you think would be the band-aid for that, and you're missing what God would want to do. You can fill up before you walk in a prayer meeting. You can just fill up on stuff, and so when you come into a prayer meeting, you're not ready to receive from the Lord because you're so full. And I just hope that you see hunger differently after tonight, because God wants to do something really profound. God wants to work in your life. God wants to fill you with new things. And there's some things that will kill hunger. I'll just go through these briefly. Number one, doubt. Doubt will kill faith and expectation. And doubt is a way of filling yourself up with the wrong thing. And it will crush what God wants to do, God's miracle-working power. Just give you a scripture for that. There's a story, too, in Kings where basically there's like a famine. The people are starving. There's a need. Elisha gives this word, and basically a guy hears it, and just because of the famine, he's like, if God opened the windows of heaven, that could never happen. And Elisha told him, like, hey, it is going to happen, but you're not going to be able to receive from it. That's the kind of thing that doubt can do. James says it like this: if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed and blown by the wind. Watch this part. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Doubt crushes that. Sin also does that. So if you have sin in your life, and you know, we're talking about hunger and expectation, Well, you can't see God's miracle working power and favor in your life if you're harboring sin in your heart. The psalmist writes it this way: if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So what you want to do is you want to deal with that first. So don't go, well, I tried to sit and listen to the Lord. I tried to, you know, get in his presence so he could give me a word because I have this huge need. God's not going to speak to you about those things until you deal with the sin in your heart and in your life. And you say, God, I'm giving this to you first. I repent of this, because sin crushes God's ability to put his favor on your life. Number three, dread and fear will crush what God wants to do in your life. Fear can always be there, but we don't let fear control us. So that's why the Bible says, do not be afraid so often. It's not that the Bible says ignore that fear might exist or fear might be like have pop up in your heart. But what the Bible is telling you is when fear happens, we approach fear with faith. We don't allow fear to control us and move us into dread, because that will keep us from believing God for big things. Scripture for that is Hebrews. It says, my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. So what God is saying is when you let fear control you, you don't honor the Lord. So if you have fear, you just need to give it to the Lord and say, you know what? I'm going to live in faith. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to make my decisions based out of fear. I'm going to make my decisions based out of faith, no matter what the need. Number three, and then we're going to move into the altar. Expectation leads to the miraculous. Let's look at it. Watch what happens here. So when there's thirst, when there's hunger, watch what God does. I will open up rivers for them on the high plateaus. I will give them fountains of water in the valley. I will fill the desert with pools of water. Rivers fed by springs will flow across the parched ground. I will plant trees in the barren desert. I don't know. If your life look barren right now, are you parched? This is a word for you. Cedar, acacia, myrtle, olive, cypress, fir, pine. I'm doing this so all who see it, I'm doing this so all who see this miracle will understand what it means, that it is the Lord who's done this, the Holy One of Israel. So a few things you have to recognize. God has put this hunger in you because he wants to do a miracle in you. And you notice that what's illustrated here are permanent things. You don't plant a tree somewhere just to dig it up the next day, right? Like you plant a tree for, I hope this is here for 40 years. I hope everybody sees this. I hope this tree looks awesome when you plant, you know, when you plant a tree, you're doing something permanent. When there's a spring somewhere, it's somewhere permanent. You know what the Lord's saying? That place where there's a need in your life, he not only wants to touch you, but he wants to do a permanent work in you that brings life, that brings beauty, that brings wholeness, that brings blessing. If you're looking at your life and you're saying, there's some sort of lack, God, I need you to touch this. God, why have you put me in this place of need? God's saying, I'm going to do something so great and so powerful that you would say, only God could do that. But not only am I going to do it, I'm going to do something that has lasting, staying power in your life. That you, when I do it, you're going to look back 10 years from that point, and you're going to say, wow, I remember when God did that and everything changed. I remember when God moved here and everything changed. Man, does that not stir up an expectation in your heart? God, I want you to do that. God, I'm hungry for that. God, I'm going to call on you for that. God, I'm thirsty for that, because that's what this scripture is designed to do. It's designed to move you from being like, you know what? I'm done living distracted. I'm going to fast, and I'm going to believe God to move this mountain in the name of Jesus. And I believe that as I do, he's going to do a permanent work. Notice, though, it's not just about us, right? When God puts a river in your life, lots of people get a drink out of a river, right? When I have a river in my life, it's not just for me. It's like, if there's a river there, that's like everybody downstream gets to be a partaker in that blessing. I love that. That God's like, you know, God could just say, I'm going to rain on you. But God says, I'm going to put a river in your life. Oftentimes, that's the area where you see the most lack. When you see the biggest place where you're like, I don't know why I'm walking through this. This is so stinking hard. You will look back on that time if you give it to God, and it will be a place where you pour blessing into other people's life. It'll be a place where you say, you know what? I walked through a time in this relationship, and yes, it was really hard, but I see where you're at, and I know God can bring you through it, and I know God can lift you out because God lifted me out. You become a river for other people because of the blessing God put in your life, and I hope that you get an expectation. That can be your story. That can be your story. How good is our God that He doesn't just touch us, but He touches us to touch other people? I love that. It's bigger. It's bigger than you. Oh man, the enemy likes to crush people just to say, you know, nobody's gone through what you're going through, and you'll never get out of this. And you know what? It's all focused on yourself. And God says, you know what? No, I see what you're going through. And you know what? There are going to be other people that go through the exact same thing. And when they do, there's going to be an anointed person with your name who saw me come through, who saw me put a tree where it didn't belong. You're a desert. Yeah, you're right. God, I'm a desert. I got nothing. Oh, yeah, He's like, uh-huh. You are. Oh, God, I'm like, it's dry here, God. I'm not blessing anybody's life. If people walk around me, they're gonna be thirsty with me because I'm a dry desert. Oh, God, because absolutely you are. I'm glad you finally realized that. Are you gonna come to me? Do you believe I'll rain on your life in a way that you couldn't imagine? Do you believe I'll fill you with the Holy Spirit, that you'll start speaking words of faith when you've been like, man, I have nothing life-giving coming out of my mouth? God says, yes, finally, you realized it. I love you, and I'm going to put rivers in that desert. But that's what stirs expectation, is hunger. And I think just maybe you came into prayer meeting, or you come into prayer meeting often, and you think the full people are in the altar. The spiritual people are in the altar. No. God doesn't fill full people. God fills hungry people. So if you feel like, I don't belong, well, God's like, you're like the best candidate. You're going to get the most. You're the hungriest. But you have to believe God, have an expectation of faith. God wants to move supernaturally. I promise you, every single time we walk in this room, every single time you have your prayer time, God wants to move in your life. And if you're like, well, Brandon, when I don't feel anything, that's hunger. It's not God being distant for the sake of being distant. It's God saying, hey, would you just lean in just a little bit more? Would you just believe that I have something for you? Push past the distracting, quiet your soul, and I'm gonna put a giant river there. I'm gonna become the landscaper of your heart and your life. And people are gonna look at you and be like, I never saw that coming. And you'll be like, I honestly didn't either. But God is the one who did it. And He can put rivers in the driest place. But it starts with a hunger.